I'd like to begin my remarks with a question. And I want everybody to answer it in your mind. Not openly, not verbally, but in your mind, answer the question, are you chosen by God? That's the question. Are you chosen by God? Now, there's only three possible answers to that. The first is yes. The second is no. The third is, I'm not sure. That's a powerful question. Is God in your life? Has He chosen you? Where are you going? What is He expecting you to do? How important is it? Where do you fit into the body? Are you an eye? Are you a finger? Are you a hand? Are you a toe? I mean, I try to find the least functional part of the body to fit me. The toe appeals to me, but even that may be too important. Because, you know, toes are important to balance the body. But to be chosen by God is an awesome privilege. To be chosen by God for a special purpose is to have the most distinctive honor possible. And honor and privilege denied kings, priests, presidents, czars, prime ministers. Just think. If you say, God has chosen me, remember, He has selected you, what, 6 billion people on planet Earth? Out of 6 billion people. Wow! Abraham was chosen to be the father of a great multitude. Moses was chosen to deliver the Hebrew people from slavery. Peter was chosen to start the early church. Paul was chosen to bring a new religion to a paganistic society. The Jewish people as a whole, as a nation, were chosen. Remember in Deuteronomy 7:6, thou art an holy people. I have chosen you to be a special people. And listen to this. Above all people. Above all people who are upon the face of the earth. Wow, that's a distinctive honor. And God makes no bones about it. He chose the Jewish people to do a special work. And what is that work? Remember Genesis 22:18? And through thy seed shall all the nations of the people of mankind shall be blessed. Israel was chosen to lift the world of mankind unto God. But Israel lost that opportunity to do this. As a nation, Israel defected. But a new chosen group has emerged. The Spirit begotten. That's you. That's me. Or that's anyone who claims to have been begotten of the Spirit. We have been chosen, not individually, but as a group, 144,000, to replace the Jews, who had a distinct mission to accomplish. You know, there's a scripture that's so powerful. I want to give it to you. In case there's a doubt, I'm concerned about the uncertain ones. If you say, yes, the Lord has chosen me, that's great. If you say no, well, it's no. But I'm a little concerned about the one who says I'm uncertain. I don't know. I think so. Sometimes I don't think so. A wavering kind of thing. Read John 15:16, when the Lord says, you have not chosen me, I have chosen you. Wow. That's mind-boggling. You'll know if you're chosen. You'll know if you're Spirit-begotten. The providential experiences are there, and you'll number them, and you'll treasure them. The chosen ones are now called the Spirit-begotten ones. God chose the Spirit-begotten, not to flatter them, not to extol them, not to show partiality, but to invite them to a mission, to a purpose, to a work. We have not been invited to go to heaven to lay in a hammock, if I could use that metaphor. Because I love to do that here in Florida, you know. Put a hammock between two trees, especially if the sun comes down nice and warm. The day before we came down here, 2 days before we came down here, it snowed in Massachusetts. Ooh. The mission that we have, not me, not the elders, not the deacons, not the committees, not the special groups, all of you, you have a mission, and the mission is the same that Israel had to uplift the world of mankind, to reconcile alienated ones to God, to restore that which was lost. That's what God wants you to do. Now, for such a mission, should not God choose the best available in the world? If you were God, and you know, you got 6 billion people, you have a lot of choices. 6 billion people to uplift mankind. Who would you pick? I know if I were God, I'd pick the best available, wouldn't? I mean, I would set up interviews. Like Wade over here, he's the principal of a school. When he has to replace the teachers or hire teachers. Wade, don't you want to have as many applications as you can? Why? To pick the best. Are we the best? We're getting some insight into God and what he's looking for. I don't think we're the best. I know so many people that are hundreds of people better than me. Does God know what he's doing? The scriptures is clear. God said he has chosen the foolish ones. 1 Corinthians 1:27-28. The scriptures say God has chosen the poor. James 2:5. The scriptures say God has chosen the weak, the base, the despised. You know, you can almost say, that doesn't make sense. Lord, don't you want to succeed in uplifting the world of mankind? Shouldn't you get the best that's available? And again, I say, does God know what he's doing? Can God succeed in this approach? Let me quickly say, yes, God knows what he's doing. The difference is he's going to do something to us. He's going to do something to the weak and the despised and the faithful and the sinners. He's going to do something powerful. That's the difference. In the ages to come, in the eons to come, in the future, none of us can say, God picked me because, wow, I had 5 degrees from the university. No one can say, I was perfect, I didn't sin. No one can say this and say that. That's why God picked you. God picked you because you were down at the bottom of the pot. At least I feel that way. God knows what he's doing. And he's saying, I will give them a special cultivation. I will give them a special spirit. I will influence them. I will guide them. I will give them direction. I will make the poor and the weak and the foolish capable. I will make them strong. I will qualify them. And the difference is, he will give us his spirit. Know what he did to the chosen Jews. They were in bad shape. Think about it. They're here. They are coming out of Egypt. Do you think they were in school while they were in Egypt? Do you think they were being culturized in Egypt? They were slaves. They were illiterates. They hardly know how to write. Speak yes. Write. You know, they were the base too. When they came out of here, God had the Israeli people. They were the lowest of the lowest. But then he began to give them things. And of course, the first thing he gave them the law. And incidentally, if you take that law and compare them with all the laws of the land, the Hammurabi Code was considered the best law. The Ten Commandments far exceeds the Hammurabi Code. He gave them the prophets. He gave them the patriarchs. He gave them messengers. He gave them a vision. He gave them the Old Testament. He gave them festivals, the tabernacle, the temple. Gave them a priesthood, the covenants, practices of prayer and practices of living. That over 1,500 years, the chosen Jews have emerged as a superior people. When the Spirit of God comes into an individual, you will emerge as a superior person. You're no longer ordinary. You cannot say, I got the Spirit of God, but I'm just an ordinary person. Can't be. Because the Spirit of God will work in your lives and make you extraordinary. I would say that the 144,000 people the Lord is picked for uplifting the world of mankind are extraordinary people. They're not ordinary people. Every one of those 144,000 are extraordinary. And a question comes up. Because God chose the Jews, are the Jews smarter than any other people? That's a good question. The world is always asking that question. The sociologist, the psychologist, they're always asking, are the Jews smarter than the Italians? Well, that's a hard one to answer. Are the Jews smarter than the Polish? There was a man by the name of C.P. Snow, a British scientist, who reflected on this question. Now, C.P. Snow is a scientist, and he noted that Israel, before they were a nation, he looked at the Jewish performance as a people, even without a nation, even without a homeland, even without a national polity, found that the Jewish people made a disproportionate contribution to mankind. And even this contribution has been ridiculously disproportionate. Right now, the world has identified four people. Four. When I say the world, I'm talking about the famous sociologist von der Haag. Von der Haag, who in professional circles is known as the guru of sociology. They found there's four people whose ideas have dominated the culture. One, Albert Einstein, nuclear energy. Two, Karl Marx in socialism and communism. Three, Sigmund Freud, human behavior, both abnormal and normal. And the fourth one is Charles Darwin. That was a Freudian slip. Incidentally, did you know Charles Darwin was not a scientist? He was a theologian. He graduated Cambridge University. He was a theologian. He came out with evolution. It's one of the dominant ideas that exists in today's world culture. Would you believe it? Albert Einstein, Karl Marx, Sigmund Freud, and Charles Darwin, three out of the four are Jews. Is that an accident? Three out of the four. Remember what Snow was trying to do. He was trying to see if there was some truth that the Jews are smarter than other people. And we find that of the 233 nations of members of the United Nations, including the European Union, the USA, and Russia, the top four countries militarily, are America, Russia, China, and Israel. How could Israel, born in 1948, just a young whippersnapper of a country, become the fourth largest and most effective militarized country in the world? These are the kinds of things that people are looking at. Is it conceivable that it's only 55 years? That even with 2,000 years of Jewish diaspora and only 55 years of political nationalism, they have become disproportionately contributory. Less than 3% of the U.S. population is Jewish. Yet, The Jewish community produces 9 times as many Nobel laureates in science than any other group. Greater than 50% of all the high school students nationally go to college. Yet 95% of the Jewish students not only go to college, but complete their plans. In 1922, the Jews were represented in Phi Beta Kappa, the university's honorary society, by 3%. That's 1922. But in 1982, the Jewish reached 34% in Phi Beta Kappa, the epitome of intellectual scholarship. And now it's been proven that the average IQ of Jewish children are continually higher than those of the non-children, Jewish children. In the professions, the Jews are overrepresented in medicine, 231%, in psychiatry, 478%, in dentistry, 299%, in law, it's 265%, in mathematics, it's 283%, in business, the figure is so great you can't even calculate it. The performance statistics reveal that the Jewish performance as a people is extraordinary. So extraordinary that the question, are Jews smarter than other people, begs the answer. The answer is that when God cultivates a people like he has had the Jews for over 2,000 years, intellectual gifts and superior skills result. We want to draw a parallel here. The same is true with the Spirit begotten, the 144,000, when they are cultivated as chosen ones. Intellectual gifts and superior skills are bound to occur. You can't have the Spirit of God in you and still be ordinary. Unless, of course, you lose it. Unless, of course, you don't use it. Unless, of course, you ignore it. There is a mystique, a distinctive quality corresponding between the chosen Jews and the chosen Spirit begotten. And when I say Spirit begotten, I'm saying you. We're talking about us. There's a similar mystique emerging that when you are chosen by God, you are not going to stay ordinary. You got nowhere to go but extraordinary. God is raising people to par excellence, high above all the people of the world. He has to. Remember what I said? He has picked us, the sinful, the base, the faultful, those who have no skills. He has chosen us, and he said, "You, I can't use you the way you are. I have to bring you up." Let's take a look at what is he doing. What is he doing to us? And let's see how that this group is extraordinary. The first one is beliefs and faith. Don't minimize belief, because belief is the starting point for things that are almost impossible to happen. Why do you believe in the resurrection? Because we see it around us all the time? Why do you believe in the existence of God? Because you can call him on the telephone and prove it? I mean, we can go on and on with all kinds of things that faith is the thing that gives us. So we believe in the extraordinary. Before you can become the extraordinary, you must believe in the extraordinary. When God chose Israel, Israel chose God. Israel consented to that chosenness. This meant Israel had a choice but move to choose God and underwent a covenant agreement with God. It was a moral and intellectual ordering of lifestyle. Oh, our lifestyles change. Once you're chosen by God, you're not the same person. I was just thinking, because Wade and I were out on the West Coast with the convention at San Luis Obispo. And I didn't know he was going to be there, and I don't think he knew I was going to be there. And we both saw each other there. And, you know, that's 3,000 miles away. And before we left, Wade said, "Well, see you in Orlando?" I said, "Yeah, I'll see you in Orlando." Wow, if that isn't a family connection of some kind. Our lifestyle. Don't ignore our lifestyle. We'll come back about conventions. But lifestyle, standards of living, principles and attitudes and laws and precepts and truths. And with this ordering, a sanctity envelops with the Jewish people. But it also envelops with the Spirit begotten. Take another one, sacrifices. To the ignorant and the untutored, sacrifices of bullocks and goats and rams is a strange and bloodthirsty activity. Applying blood to mantles and sprinkling it on a mercy seat must appear like weird behavior. But to those who know the mysteries of God, these practices were not only symbols of future events, but outward manifestation of attitude changes. Remember what we said. When the Jews came out of Egypt, they were illiterate, they were primitive, and they were uncultured. So God had to proceed. How do I change 2 million people? And that's an approximation now. We don't know exactly, but that's an approximation. How do you change 2 million?